Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
In mysteries, both real and fiction, there's a basic phrase, follow the money. I was thinking about this when I read about a study that's going to look at the high incidence of cruciate ligament problems in black labs. The idea being to find an indicator of those animals most likely to experience this condition, and then a test to determine that indicator, which one assumes would be some gene or combination of genes. Then the test would be used to eliminate individuals carrying those genes from the reproductive gene pool. The idea of more and more tests resulting in the gene pools of purebred dogs being shrunken more and more depresses me. It makes no sense. It results in a decreased genetic diversity at a time when the demands we're placing on our dogs requires more. And yet we do it. And the question is why? And the answer begins with follow the money. If you're a smart researcher, you realize that in order to be able to do your research, someone's going to have to pay for it. And because here in the U.S., we have a government that doesn't do much in the way of supporting such research, chances are that funding's going to come from private sources. And so this research reflects the values of the funders. So if, for example, a large organization believes that genes cause problems and that eliminating those genes is going to make a particular breed better, then they will fund such research. Pretty soon the word gets out. And you can see the results of this now. On many purebred dog sites, the prospective buyer is cautioned to look for certain test results in both the male and the female bred to produce a particular litter, and that these tests will supposedly guarantee or at least greatly limit the possibility that the litter will succumb to those diseases. Unfortunately, when we take a myopic approach to disease, we don't consider how in the process of eliminating one, we may be predisposing the animal to something else. Maybe it'll be medical, maybe it'll be behavioral. The thing is, that kind of research doesn't allow for that. It's pretty depressing because I see people who have bought puppies whose parents have been cleared for this, that, and the other thing, all of which has greatly contributed to the price that these people have paid for these animals. Because of that, they expect these puppies to be perfect. And when they're not, they feel betrayed. Instead of having a nice companion dog, they wind up with what turns out to be a money pit and an emotional pit. I do wish that when we look at these situations, we didn't do so in a vacuum, surrounded by funding. I wish we would look at the big picture. I wish we would ask, how likely is it that ruptured anterior cruciate ligaments exist in a vacuum, and they have nothing to do with all of the countless variables that combine to make up what we consider normal human and canine life? I'm not sure that's going to happen in my lifetime. It's a lot easier to do countless minute studies and get the results. than it is to try to put all of those minute findings together into something that might make a unified whole.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.